Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. There's always a white elephant in a city, whether it's a disproportionately large building in a small-scale neighbourhood, or a modernist bridge perhaps that's incongruous in its surroundings, or that never-ending project that's gone vastly over budget. For Nicosia, the capital of Cyprus, it has to be Eleftheria, or Freedom Square. Zaha Hadid Architects won an international competition for its redevelopment in 2005, but 14 years later, it's still yet to be completed. Monocle's Athens correspondent, Daphne Karnesis, caught up with the Nicosia-based architect, Haris Christodoulou, to find out more.
My first impression when I first saw the project, I was still a student then, I thought that this is a quite ambitious project to do something like that, which has a very strong sculptural presence next to the walls, because the Venetian walls, they have a very strong historical significance for the identity of the city. So the main issue for most of the architects, and as I saw later on for most of the people living in Nicosia, is how do you come next to such a strong historical element? How do you stand next to it? Eleftheria Square was never a square. It was actually a bridge that connected the old city with the modern city. Although Eleftheria Square was never actually a square, big events happened there during the 20th century. Some of these events had a significant historical and political importance. There were protests, there were also political rallies, and most recently it became an area for people to gather and make festivities and sports events. So due to its important position in the city center of the capital city of Cyprus, it gathered people every now and then to celebrate something. So in the conscience of most of the people, and mainly the people living in Nicosia, this was a square. The fact that there is a lack of public space in every city in Cyprus, and this is also the case for Nicosia, I think that this fact led the authorities to consider the redesign of this bridge as a square in order to provide an important public space which has a significant importance for the people. And I think they saw this competition as an opportunity to provide a public space where it didn't exist before. The competition took place in 2005. It was the first international architectural competition for Cyprus. Until then, all competitions were for local architects. This was the first time that an international competition took place, and this fact signifies the importance that the local authorities thought that this project has. 1 year earlier, Cyprus joined the EU. So there was this notion in the atmosphere that we're now joining the European Union family. We want to proceed towards that direction. So we want to, let's say, promote a more modern and a more Western, let's say, profile. Zaha Hadid was still alive when her office won the competition back in 2005. And what the report of the jury mentioned about her proposal is that the proposal stands out for its originality, its contemporary style, as well as for the successful creation of an uninterrupted flow between the areas within and outside the old city. This project pays also respect to the Venetian walls because the design from Zaha Hadid's architects was that the square somehow, its form echoes the form of the Bastion Davila, which is next to it. When the proposals to the competition were displayed publicly, I saw that there was a public debate started about if this project is what we need at this place. February 2012, the construction started, and it was supposed to finish 2 years later. Now we're 7 years later. In 2013, a major financial crisis hit the economy of the country. This had caused also some delays at the project, but at the same time, everyone realized this project done by a prestigious office based in London, an international office, it had many technical challenges and technologies that were never before tested in Cyprus. So this has caused, of course, a delay. There were many delays because of the financial crisis, because of the lack of money, because of the technical complications. And now we're at the final stage. Maybe we're some months before its final completion. As Christos Pashas said in a recent interview, Christos Pashas is from Zaha Hadid Architects, the project manager from the architect's office. He's also Cypriot. Recently, he said in an interview that this project was the longest executing projects he has done in the office, and they have done many, many projects so far, much more complex, much bigger. But although he said that it was a very tough procedure, the very long procedure, he's feeling very optimistic that this project has also brought a new era in Cyprus, a new way of constructing things in Cyprus. And he's confident that when it opens to the public, people will embrace it. If Hadid didn't want the project, if another architect won the project with another project, I'm more or less sure that similar debates will be around it, if it's the right thing to do, if we need the square there or not, if its form is okay, if the material is fine. Like we see similar cases in many capital cities in Europe where you have a strong historical presence in the city and you're trying to do something new right next to it. In my opinion, we have seen in many cases in history, many projects that had significant importance in the local societies. Although they were criticized a lot during construction, the final outcome and the final conclusion was made after people and the local society started using it. So I guess that this also goes for Eleftheria Square. It doesn't matter so much to talk about aesthetics, about materiality, about design, about history. As long as the project is still not functioning, we have to, I guess, wait for the project to finish and then start using it and then let it become part of our life, and then we can make our own conclusions.
You've been listening to Tool Stories, a Monocle 24 production. And thanks to Daphne Karnizis for today's episode. Remember, tune in every Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck. Goodbye. And thank you for listening, City Lovers.